they're filming 24/7, right? So you're getting maybe a snapshot of what happens. They're trying to fit everything in within a couple of days, sometimes within 45, 50 minutes of an episode. Definitely stay busy trying to do that, kill some time in the morning. And it was actually, it's actually therapeutic for me.
And you guys needed therapy out there, I think, with all the stuff going on.
Personalities, man, that were out there, that's about as kinetic as you can get. I've never met so many. I've been around a lot of personalities in the military, man. Met a lot of people, a lot of good people. I don't think I've met that many people that were.
All right, what's up, y'all? It's Parker with Upbeat. Thanks for listening in. We're here on the show today with Jake Kokolas. How's it going, man?
Yo, what's going on, brother? It's great to be here, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited. You know, this audience for Upbeat is very like entrepreneur mindset and also creative and passion based. And I think just in watching the show that you were on and also staying connected with you on Instagram and social media, I thought you'd be a good example for the people on the show. I'm excited.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words. That means a lot, bro. Seriously, because it's really cool to meet a lot of similar-minded individuals in that same space, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure that kind of happens, you know, after you're on something like that and you just kind of attract all the right tribe.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it works.
Well, cool. Yeah, so to catch the listeners up, you know, and just kind of address the elephant in the room, we won't make the whole episode about this, but you were on a TV show on Netflix called The Trust. But before we get into that, I'm curious, you know, what you were doing before the show, and if you could just kind of, I guess, give us a little brief rundown.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was doing social media before, which was kind of how Netflix picked me up. So I actually had more of like a fitness, TikTok at the time. And that was more in 2022, because I owned a couple fitness businesses that I was doing virtually, training a bunch of clients, been in the fitness space for like 15 plus years, you know, ex-military guy. So I did a lot of that, promoted my page, had maybe 50 some thousand followers. That's how Netflix initially reached out to me. They're like, hey, we love that you're military, you're ex-military, you're like into shape and, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, cool. And as time went on into the next year, I slowly got rid of that page because I just didn't feel like I was having impact. Like, I'm really big on developing relationships, having impact on people. And so to be honest, a few weeks before the show actually started filming in March of 2023, I started my now current page on Instagram and TikTok, which is Man Up Daily or Jake Kokolas, under what you can find it under either one. And so, so they basically found me through my socials, man, really random. It doesn't happen often. They went through thousands of candidates for the show since it was a brand new show, and they just happened to like what they see, man. And they picked me up, and it was, the process was pretty smooth. It was easy. I got through every interview really quick, and they pushed me to the next round, and then all of a sudden I was on the show.
Dang. Yeah, so fast. So you were kind of like recruited then from stuff you were pursuing.
Yeah, well, you know, I was funny. I was actually the first cast member for the show that they wanted on the show. I was one of the first casting directors had told me, she was like, yeah, you were the first one that I knew would have been a good fit for the show. And it's really rare for them to just, I mean, some of them, they do that. They'll find out of thin air like that. And I was really fortunate that they liked what they saw. And they were like, yeah, this dude would be a fit for the show, I guess.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. So how did you, I guess, initially find out you were passionate about fitness? And I guess, fitness is pretty obvious how it helps others, but how do you use your passion to also help other people?
So I was in the military for almost 10 years as a rescue pilot, and every unit I ever went to, I really got into fitness early in high school. I was athletic in school. I was baseball player pretty much my whole life up to college. And then I got into the military right after that in college, and then commissioned as an officer. And when you're in the, I've always been really competitive. So everything you do in the military is pretty much physical based. You do a lot of physical training. You do all kinds of events, challenges, different military schools you can go to. And I really fell in love with it in my early 20s. And I was always the fitness guy. Like everywhere I went, I was always in the gym, always had my soldiers coming out training with me, was always at competitions, trying to compete with the next best guy and all kinds of stuff. And I just fell in love with being taking care of myself physically. And then being able to motivate those people around me that wanted to get in better shape themselves. So that's when down the road, a decade later, I kind of did a couple of fitness businesses and really wanted to help. I love transforming people's lives to help them get back in shape, man.
Thanks for sharing that. And then I guess with the show then being on that, I guess did you have, like, what were your goals for going on the show? Did you want to like, because you did some fitness stuff. You're like the fitness guy on the show too.
I mean, they highlight me that way. They show maybe 2% of what actually, you don't see probably 98% of what actually is happening. Yeah. They happen to highlight me as the guy that's out in the morning, but I would go and do that. I'd get up in the morning. I'd work out by the edge of that 250 foot infinity pool or whatever it was out there. Cause I just tried to stay busy. They didn't have any workout sets and I really like to stay active at least once a day and do something, even if it's simple, something as simple as a walk, you know? But I mean, yeah, I definitely stayed busy trying to do that, kill some time in the morning. And it's actually therapeutic for me. So it was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah. And you guys needed therapy out there, I think, with all the stuff going on.
Personalities, man, that were out there, it's about as kinetic as you can get. I've never met so many. I've been around a lot of personalities in the military, man. Met a lot of people, a lot of good people. I don't think I've met that many people that were that emotional, that kinetic in such a short period of time. Some good people out there for sure. And then some others with personalities with the personality of a dung beetle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's one thing I was wondering about. This is more selfish curiosity rather than the point of this show. But, you know, how accurate of a representation do you think that is to the real world versus, you know, is it pretty much just the extremes from all sides because that's how they casted it?
Yeah, I would say it's the extremes. Like, again, they're filming 24/7, right? So you're getting maybe a snapshot of what happens. They're trying to fit everything in within a couple of days, sometimes within 45, 50 minutes of an episode. So they're trying to highlight the most pertinent pieces that they think are going to be the most influential on the audience. And then they also try to either pigeonhole or paint people out to be certain ways, which are not accurate at all. Some are very accurate and some are very inaccurate or not accurate enough. So it's real interesting what they try to pack into 45 minutes to try to build an episode. And they have an agenda the whole time. They know exactly what they're trying to do. Even if that means you're in a confessional saying things 100 times over until it's said the right way for them to put that as the soundbite for something that happens in an episode.
Yeah, it's wild how much goes into it. Well, thanks for sharing kind of that behind the scenes look. I was going to ask, you know, more on the topic of the show, of this podcast. With the challenges that you faced there, because there was a lot obviously and with drama and stuff, but what did you do to kind of carry yourself through those hard times while being out there? And then two-part question kind of, because then after that, since being off the show, how have you been navigating that?
Yeah, so it's been challenging in it. It was challenging outside of it. I kind of expected it though, honestly, Parker. Like I expected it to be kind of chaotic, just given what I kind of stand for as a person. I'm assuming the show knew that too, but they knew kind of how I'd handle things. Inside of the house, like especially when I did the whole lineup scene, everyone saw that I kind of look like a dick on TV because they paint me out to look that way. A lot of the things didn't really happen that way. There were a lot more conversations. I didn't just walk up and be like, hey, screw you guys, I'm up front. There was a lot of conversations between people and me being like, hey, are you cool with this? Are you guys cool with this? No one in that house ever wanted to be a leader. No one wanted to step up. No one wanted to take responsibility for anything in that house. I mean, you'll even show conversations with me and Brian. And Brian was like, I don't consider myself a leader, you know. People want to say a lot of things. They take sound bites from Gaspar, but you know how that kind of happened. It created a lot of tension with a lot of relationships. So they don't show me spending like the next couple of days mending relationships, talking to people. Hey, I'm sorry that I made you feel bad. You know, like that wasn't the intent. I've known you guys for 36 hours. Give me a friggin' break. You know what I mean? Like, but saying it in the nicest way possible. Never knew Tola was ever mad at me for me talking about her ethnicity, even though she talked about that 24/7 whenever I would just mention it in passing with her, you know, to talk about it because she was literally talking about it. Like, I couldn't talk about it if she was talking about it. I never knew that pool scene where I go out and apologize to her, things like that. Like, I would have never known if Julie hadn't come up and told me and Winnie hadn't mentioned something to me earlier in the day. I had no idea. Like, you know, everyone was so emotional. It was like, it was honestly in the house. It was like walking around eggshells. People, a good chunk of them, I don't want to say the girls, but it was the girls because they were the ones that kind of segregated the house for some reason. There were five specific women that were just like, hey, let's separate the house and not get anyone a shot and not get it to know them at all. Let's just eliminate people, like, which is why they got rid of Jewels at the beginning, which made no sense to me. He gave them no reason to do that. They were just really vindictive. So it was like walking around eggshells all the time, specifically a handful of the women. And I kind of knew that was going to be the case the entire time. But if I remained true to myself, true to the people I could trust, keep speaking truth, like, it's going to weed them out. And eventually it did. The girls just end up destroying each other, which, if you haven't seen the show, spoiler alert, but it's been out for a month, so you need to go see it. But you know, like, it's funny because you just kind of let them do their thing. And then post show, I got a lot of hate, man. A lot of things happen, especially, you know, you see the real colors of people's personalities, specifically i.e. Tolu really came out swinging with the whole racist card. And it was really bizarre to me, man, given my history and what I've done, the people I've worked with and the country I've served. It's hard for me to kind of swallow that pill. And I ended up clapping back at her in a video because it came to the point where I was getting death threats from people because she went to like four or five prominent magazines and was saying a lot of untrue things about me. And I can take some of those body blows all day, but when it gets very personal and other people are being threatened, I was like, okay, I got to make a video to speak my truth because I had all the receipts from the show. Like, I spoke on everything that no one was willing to talk. Even my castmates, they weren't going to say the things that I were going to say, and they still won't because they were... a lot of them were being blackmailed and stuff. And I was the only one speaking truth, being like, this is how it was. This is the things she was saying. And, you know, I mean, I've heard it all, man. I speak a lot of stuff of being a patriot for this country, being a relatively, I'm pretty conservative guy, pro 2A, First Amendment guy. People don't like that. And that's okay. And you just have to remain true to yourself. And so I've been called everything under the sun. If it wasn't on the show or post show from castmates, it happens every day. So it's nothing surprising. But when Tolu took it to a different level, I had to step up and to defend myself. And people don't understand, like, she didn't even have a platform. Like, I have 50,000+. I almost have in aggregate 300,000 followers cross platform. So it's like, I've developed a platform that's designed to take down individuals that are doing what these individuals tried to do to me. So it's like to speak truth. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so the cards kind of fell that way, but I think I've handled the best way that I can. There are a lot of things happening with the cast members that it's unfortunate. I think a lot of them got opportunities that I didn't get because I was being cancel cultured from big platforms. A lot of my castmates were being told not to affiliate with me or work with me because of the things I speak on, and that's okay. And so it's gotten they kind of blackballed me in some areas, but I've also had great opportunities to be on like One America News, big podcast platforms still that want to hear my story because there's always two sides of a story. And surprisingly, unfortunately, some of the closer friends of mine from the show, I won't name them, but they were kind of blackmailed into not associating with me. And that kind of sucks because you got to see kind of their true colors too, which is unfortunate because if I would have been blackballed and put in the same position they were, I would have never given in. You know, I would have been like, no, man, I'm still going to speak what I believe is true. But when money's involved, man, money changes everything for people.
Yeah. Well, that might be alluding to a question I was going to ask a little bit later on, was just if you're still tight with like Brian and Gaspar, but I don't know if that's who you were referencing or not.
Yeah. So I'm tight with Brian and Gaspar. I love those guys. Like, I will always be close to them. They're honestly, out of everybody on the show, Lindsay, I'm cool with Lindsay. We're still friends. Everyone else, you know, the majority of the girls, Simone, I'm friends with Simone. I'm friends with Jewels. It's all the girls that pretty much wanted to eliminate everyone in the house. Even Julie, me and Julie were tight. And then she just chose that she wanted to be more affiliated with Tolu. And she was really, you know, she had indicated to me that she was really concerned about her brand and she wouldn't get brand deals if she was even friends with me, which kind of tells me everything I needed to know about somebody. And I said, you know what? The difference between you and me is how we define our friends. And you and I definitely pick our friends differently. And I wished her luck. I said, no problem. So even despite our little romance and everything you saw on TV and our post friendship, I thought that would have went on. But when Tolu went on her whole rant,
It draws lines.
Yeah, it did, man. And it was unfortunate to see that. And it was like, you get to see a lot about someone's integrity. And when you hear what was being said on both sides, it was really confusing on why Julie chose to go with Tolu. But I was like, you got to do you. And so I kind of let her go that way. But me and Brian and Gaspar, yeah, we're still tight. And we talk, we'll text. I think from a personal relationship, me and Brian and Gaspar will always be buddies. From a professional standpoint, whether or not they want to work with me, I don't know if that'll ever happen just because of things that have happened based off the show.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you being so like open about all this stuff. I will say that's a big reason why I personally wanted to have you on this podcast. It might be kind of hard for you and you're going through like this refining process, but like I said, I think before we hit record, you're finding the right tribe, you know, you're finding the right people, the kind of people that'll back you up no matter what. And I think you're an example. Again, you're going through a really hard thing, but you're an example to so many people who are just kind of timid to stand up. But this empowers them to, you know, speak truth, more than they already are.
Yeah, you know, it's unique. I tell people this, for every one negative comment, there's always five people that are backing you. They just don't really have the voice or the platform to do it. So the positive feedback that I've gotten from people has been astronomical compared to the negative feedback. And the negative feedback are just a bunch of keyboard Karens who can go pound sand and they don't bother me at all because they have no life, man. They're sitting here behind their phone and it's really sad to be honest. But to be honest, I got on the show, it was a God thing. Whether or not you believe in God or whatever, wherever you stand in your religious beliefs, it was, for me, it was a God thing. Like, I had done a lot of prayer about it. I was like, is this something I'm supposed to do? I knew potentially how the show would paint me. I knew the backlash I would get afterwards, but I know that I also speak in a different way than most people are used to hearing, whether I use a little comedy or I'm right up in your face. And I try to say things a certain way and address it to a certain audience. I knew that there would be a big impact down the road. And I really felt like the door needed to be open to do this. And God was like, do it, man. And I was like, it was kind of a, you know, if you know your Bible story, it's kind of like, I tell people it's like a Moses in the burning bush kind of situation. It was like, do it. And I was like, okay. And a lot lined up for it to happen. And it kind of exactly what I had expected post show has kind of happened. And I still don't honestly, Parker, I don't honestly know where it's going to go. The show's been over for, you know, a month now. And, you know, some of the cast members are still trying to ride the show. Bro, I'm doing my videos, man. I'm doing what I've always done. I just, you know, 400, 500 plus videos, keep doing my thing. If a door opens, it opens. If I connect with great people like yourself, then awesome. New relationship, like new bonds to be made. That's really what I'm all about, is developing those relationships and not trying to worry about where the next penny is going to come in based off of a temporary 3-week show, you know?
Yeah. Or like the top headlines of the week. you gotta be more, I guess, deep rooted than that. And I appreciate that too. I'm glad you brought up faith and God. I wanted to ask about family too, just people in your life, like who have been some like influential players for you? Maybe that you don't always mention because they're not like out publicly, but you love them and you want to thank them.
Yeah. You know, I keep family really close to the chest. People are like, well, why don't you ever post your, cause I have a son, you know, he's 4 years old. I'm divorced, but like, I see him quite often. We're very close. I had articles. It was funny coming out about me, Parker, like, is Jake even close to his son? Does he even talk to him? And they just trying to make these ridiculous articles cause they got nothing else to do. You're on Netflix for 3 weeks and whatever. But yeah, my family's very close. I think influences, I mean, my parents happily married after 40 years. Dearest are obviously one of the best examples I can have for maintaining a great relationship with family and people. Obviously my son is number one. And then I have a handful, you know, I've realized over my time, especially in the military, I have a very close group of friends, but literally friends that I could call and text right now while I'm on this podcast, and they would message me back within minutes. And those are the kind of people I want in my back pocket, you know, two best friends growing up and maybe a handful of military guys that would literally kill for anyone so just to have my back. And I would say those people have been the biggest support, the like immediate frontline support. And, you know, that's pretty much it, man. Like, it would be pointless for me to name names because no one would know who they are. But all they know is like they fought in the dust and sand with me in Afghanistan, or they've been overseas and they've all served their country. And we love taking care of people. And those are the people that have kind of had my back, along with, honestly, from a very aggregate perspective, like maybe the fan base. The fan base has been awesome. The people like yourself or other individuals who are just like, man, like, thank you for like saying what you're saying or just being true to yourself. I mean, I'm very flawed. I mess up more than anyone else, but I will stick to the base foundational pillars that makes me me, whether that's being a protector, loyal, trustworthy, a communicator, and just really an empathetic towards people. I'll always be those things, but I'll always tell you the truth too, whether or not you want to hear it.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And I'm super grateful for you taking some time to be on the show. It's going to help a lot of people. I say this kind of a lot, but you know, in social media, in anything online, I guess, when you're checking analytics and data, you've got your likes and comments and impressions, but there's not a metric for real impact. And you mentioned at the beginning too with your fitness stuff, but you've noticed about yourself, you wanted to have real impact. And I think there's no way to measure the ripple effect of that, but that it's happening.
Yeah, I hope that's the case, man. Whether it's the butterfly effect or whatever it is, you never know who you're going to impact. You never know which video is going to do it. If the right topic hits home for somebody, that's why I try to be as interactive as I can with my audience, whether I'm doing a live or they just see my face on an Instagram story. Like I try to be out there and also doing my well-edited videos to try to make that professional look. I try to be personal. And what I've realized too, at least from talking to other fans who are following other cast members, not only from my show, but other shows, what the feedback that I've has been consistent has been like, dude, you're so honest and like connecting with your audience, where like you would answer hundreds of questions from your audience, where a lot of them would answer maybe 10 or 15. Like I'll spend the time to almost have a full-blown conversation with people, because that's how I've developed. The only reason I've been blessed to be successful in life is because of the people that I've known. So if I have people that watch me on TV, they can see through the BS of what's going on in reality TV. Like then they can see like, whoa, like there's actually this dude's just like me, and like but he cares about us, and he's going to speak about really cool things, you know?
Absolutely love that, man. Well, thanks. And definitely encourage anyone listening to go to your podcast, Man Up Daily. I think it's awesome. You get to share kind of that raw message and empower a lot of people. Last thing before we kind of close up here and I do some like beatboxing and stuff for you. Is there anything that you would want to say or share with someone who needs advice to just keep pressing on?
I would tell people, because I've experienced a lot of life, been very blessed to see a lot. I've seen a lot of death. I've seen a lot of saved lives. I've seen a lot of great relationships with people. I've seen a lot of tough times. And I just want to let people know that I am here for you. You're not alone. That's why I speak about a lot of the things I speak about. The world is really dark right now, but it's, you know, there's a lot of light coming. And I just think that you need to try to connect yourself to people that are going to back you up. And whether or not people feel like they know me or not, that I want them to be able to feel free to reach out to me. People would be surprised how often I'll respond to an authentic message coming from people. And if you ever want to reach out to me, just give you my handles on Instagram. It's Jake Kokolous. My last name, if anyone's listening, it's C-H-O-C-H-O-L-O-U-S, but it's pretty easy to find. And then on TikTok, It's Man Up Daily, at Man Up Daily, or Jake Kokolis. You can find me either way. And then YouTube is my first and last name as well, Jake Kokolis. You can find me at Man Up Daily as well on YouTube, where I post all of my podcasts as well, where we talk about, honestly, a lot different than what I talk about on some of my media commentary. It's more personal based and a different feel. So there are people who have really cool stories that I feel like other people need to hear. So if you're one of those people, I would challenge you. I would love to have you on my show. If you have a cool story that you think that can connect with other people and have an impact, that's kind of what I do on my show, which is kind of counterintuitive what people think I actually talk about on my podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for the breakdown, man. Appreciate you. I'm going to do a quick beatbox for it. Thank you, Jake.
Bro, that's sick, dude. You remind me of one of my close buddies. I used to work at this camp, and he would do beatboxing just like this, and I would just hang around him because I felt like the coolest dude. I was like, this guy's slaying it, man.
But that's dope, bro. Not going to lie, Kokolis was a little bit harder to fit in there, but
I bet it was, man. Probably just taking a breath, like, oh my God, bro. Yeah. That's cool, man. Yeah, thanks for that, dude. That's dope.
Yeah, thanks for being on Upbeat.